morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. We have about 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have small craft advisories all over the place this morning. On the Columbia River Bar, we have a small craft advisory for rough conditions through this afternoon. Elsewhere in our forecast, we have a small craft advisory for hazardous seas through this afternoon. That means seas 10 feet or higher. A small craft advisory for winds in effect from 7 a.m. this morning through this afternoon, and then a gale watch kicks in Wednesday morning through Wednesday evening. So the weather is going to get a little bit more messy and difficult out there. Overall, in the marine weather forecast, we have southwest winds 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20, rising to 25 knots in the afternoon, then becoming northwest 10 to 15 knots with gusts to 20 in the afternoon. Wind waves west 2 feet at 4 seconds, northwest swells 10 feet at 12 seconds apart, and rain. And you can see as those winds change from morning to afternoon, from southwest to northwest, you can visualize a spinning weather system, spinning counterclockwise, moving across our area. And depending on what part of it is over us, it will determine, as you can visualize, which direction the wind is coming from. On the Columbia River Bar this morning, we have combined seas 12 feet, easing to around 10 by Tuesday, by this afternoon. But seas will be building to about 13 feet during those max ebb current times. One of them is around 2:30 a.m. and the other is around 2:45 this afternoon. That's a time when the seas just tend to get whipped up there on the bar because of the heavy-duty forces that are acting out there, the heavy downstream current and the falling tide, the ebbing tide, working together during those max ebb current times. And today, on the a little later in the Ship Report, we're going to be hearing more from Port of Astoria Executive Director Jim Knight. I interviewed him recently about port operations, what is a port, that kind of thing. And the last question I asked him in this particular interview was all about the port's preparations and role in a big disaster like the big one, the big earthquake that we all are thinking about and preparing for here on the coast. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders. We have 4 in the Astoria Anchorage, 3 at the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria on the Washington side of the river, and 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival is the Easter N. She's a bulk carrier arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. Her cargo will be wheat eventually when she heads upriver. She'll be in the anchorage by about 7:30 a.m. The Pacoy is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Portland, for a berth at the Port of Portland that used to be a container ship berth, and now that's Terminal 6 there. Container ships have not been there for a while, and they are using, at least for the time being, Terminal 6 as a break bulk terminal. Now, you may have heard me use that term before. Bulk cargo in general is loose cargo, like, sometimes they will use actually blowers to blow wheat through a tube into a big open cargo hold that is like a giant big room with very tall sides. And so like big bins at the grocery store. But a break bulk cargo is actually a type of cargo, a classification of cargo in which it's big chunks of things, big pieces of things, pallets of things, boxes of things. So you might be, break bulk cargo could include lumber, could include heavy equipment, pieces of steel that have to be loaded in bundles. And so that's just a different type of cargo, of general cargo that is break bulk, and that can include lots of different kinds of things. So that's the kind of cargo that's being distributed, shipped out of that Terminal 6 these days for the moment. The Greca Universalis is heading out, is arriving from China, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. I'm not quite sure what her cargo is, but she will be arriving there around 8:30 p.m. I find out where ships what ships are carrying by the berths that they're heading for, because the berths are usually dedicated to certain kinds of cargo. And some of the ships that come in just don't quite know where they're going yet. They know they're going somewhere, but if it's not on the schedule yet, I just have to wait and sort of, sometimes I can scope it out in different ways, but this particular one, don't know yet. The Port Pegasus is arriving from China, headed for Longview to a berth that handles logs. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 11:30 this evening. You might see her running lights go by if you're near the water. And around 3 a.m. on Wednesday, she might arrive there in Longview. The Star Crimson is arriving from Japan. She's headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 p.m. and arrive at well, arriving the anchorage around that time, and she is going up to Kalama eventually. Corn, soy, or wheat are her possible cargoes. Well, I'm going to stop right now, and I'll put the ship schedule up on the website at shipreport.net after the show. But I wanted to share with you this interview with the segment of this interview I did with Port of Astoria Executive Director Jim Knight. It's a couple of minutes long. I asked him about, you know, preparations for the big one. We're all talking about how we are going to survive this and thrive and come back and survive it and all that afterwards. So I asked the port. The port is in a very vulnerable position there, right on the water. How are they handling that? What is their approach to this potential situation?
Yeah. So the port plays a part in a regional basis in a couple different arenas. One, all emergency management in Clatsop County is managed by the county, and so being a part of the county, then we fall within. Within that group, and primarily the report's role for those types of emergencies will be afterwards. After the tsunami or the earthquake has come, the port's airport, the port's waterfront properties, assuming that they're still usable, are going to be the two primary locations of which material will be assembled, equipment will be brought in. The bridge may fall, so we're going to need a lot of laydown area for cargo and apparatus. So assuming that a tsunami comes in, it doesn't wipe out all of the port's docks, the water passes over, washes them clean, and then recedes again, and hopefully the port's property will still be standing. But we do have obligations with the Coast Guard to maintain emergency preparedness, and so we have a whole battle plan, so to speak, in the event of multiple different types of emergencies. Those plans are reviewed on an annual basis. We get annual inspections from the Coast Guard that are we maintaining our awareness? Are we maintaining our record keeping? Are we doing our drills and practices appropriately? It's a pretty important issue for not just the Port of Astoria, but all ports, to be prepared for whatever may come. But like all of us, you know, we have staff at the port in our offices on the third floor, and instructions that we give to our tenants, to all of our staff. If you feel an earthquake and if you're safe, run for the highest hill that you can get to as quickly as you can. That's the first step, is self-preservation. And then once it's over, then we're back to work, and then it becomes a cleanup.
And that was Port of Astoria Executive Director Jim Knight talking about the port's preparation and role in a disaster like the big Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake. And I just wanted to share a little bit about something that I was fortunate to attend years ago, which was an earthquake tsunami modeling workshop at Oregon State University in Corvallis, where I got to watch a bunch of civil engineers and scientists talk about what would happen if a big tsunami wave hit the mouth of the Columbia, what would happen. And basically, there were some factors. This is all mathematical modeling, so it's very theoretical. But that if such a wave hit the mouth of the river at the right angle on a rising tide, it could come further up the river and be more damaging. If it hit on a heavy ebb, it could be bigger at the mouth but not come inland as much. In either case, the Port of Astoria is pretty much right dead center for whatever would come up the river, so there would be significant damage there. But then, as he said, it would afterwards become a place where people would need that port area to get supplies in and out. And so anyway, just another interesting perspective on disaster preparedness by an agency in our own community. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.